This is what I found interesting, though. I was reading this study in preparation for the message. 66% of Americans believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That didn't surprise me so much as this. Most Americans don't understand why it matters. Kind of like the woman that my wife heard yesterday say to somebody else, "It's just another day like any other." I think when we understand the significance of the resurrection, what it means, it changes everything. I want you to see that in practical ways. Now, we don't have time to deal with it comprehensively. All the things that the bodily resurrection of Jesus means for us, if we were to deal with it comprehensively, you'd miss your honey ham this afternoon. You'd probably miss your 4th of July and your Christmas celebrations too. But we're going to take a look at what the passage that just was read to you has to share with us from Mark chapter 16 about the significance of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the first profound thing that happens as a result of Jesus conquering death, the tomb being empty, is it means that there are solid answers for your doubts, about what matters most, for your doubts about Jesus. If you have doubts about Jesus, so have many through the years. After all, Jesus made a lot of outrageous claims, quite frankly. The Jewish people understood, for instance, that Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," was a messianic psalm. And Jesus shows up in John chapter 10, it's recorded, and says, "I'm the good shepherd." And the Jewish people are making the connection. He's calling himself the fulfillment of Psalm 22 and 23 and 24. Jesus doubled down on it. In verse 27, he'd say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." Jesus made stronger claims even than that. There, more than once, Jesus healed on the Sabbath, which was a violation of made-up rabbinical law. But the rabbis, the Pharisees, would challenge him, "Oh, you're breaking the Sabbath." And Jesus would essentially say, "No, I'm not." He would say, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." In other words, I'm not breaking the law. I wrote the law. I know the Sabbath laws pretty well. I didn't just write the law. I made the Sabbath. I am the creator. It's no wonder that they wanted to kill Jesus for heresy, because if it's not true, he's claiming to be God. If it's not true, that is heresy. Jesus would say wild things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." Do you doubt that? A lot of people do. But if Jesus Christ has risen from the, if he's conquered death, we can believe him. Satisfies whatever doubts we have. Part of the reason that I love Mark chapter 16 is because it's just filled with doubt. Jesus' closest followers. In fact, it begins with the women going to the tomb that first Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. And on the way, they're not expecting to find an empty tomb. They saw Jesus crucified. Some of them brought his body, dead body, off the cross, put the burial stuff all over him. They fully expected to find a dead Jesus. But when they get there, instead, they find an angel. If he looks like Michael Landon for you, that works for me. In Mark 16:6, the angel says to them, who looks like a young man, we're not surprised by that angel, sometimes it, "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." How do they respond at that moment? Do they start celebrating like they've just won the NCAA championship? No. They're confused. It says they're terrified. They run. They're confused. They're not sure what to believe, in other words. It says in verse 8, they said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. They doubted. Is it true? They wondered. Later on, Jesus appeared to Mary, who was from Magdala, a fishing town north of Galilee. And Jesus said, "Now go share what you've seen with the other followers." And she does. And it says, when they heard that Jesus was alive and had been seen by Mary, they believed, because they're going to be the future leaders of the church. That'll really look good. No, they did not believe. Okay, verse 12 then. Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them walking on their way into the country, the road to Emmaus story found in Luke. And they went and they reported it to the rest of the followers of Jesus who did not believe it either. I love the fact, you read through the Mark account, and the theme of the Mark account is they didn't believe. They doubted. They were skeptical. If you doubt, if you're skeptical, you're in good company. The challenge, though, is will you take an honest look at the evidence? See, Jesus shows up in verse 14 and he rebukes them for their unbelief. They've seen more evidence. They've heard more evidence at this point. They've not seen him face to face yet, I guess. So he rebukes them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who saw him after he had risen. You see, there is honest doubt, and then there's just hardness of heart. There's just closed-minded skepticism, refusing to believe. Soren Kierkegaard said, there are two kinds of ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true. If you're just refusing to believe what's true, don't pride yourself on your skepticism. Be honest. What do you need to do to get over the doubts? Listen to the eyewitnesses, Jesus says. There's so much evidence out there for believing the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, we don't have time to deal with all of it. I would give you, if you want to do research on it, I would recommend anything by Gary Habermas. For instance, one of the books that he's written is called The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus. There's another book with a similar title, The Case for the Resurrection, written by Lee Strobel, who is a one-time atheist whose wife started going to church, and he wanted to talk her out of believing in Jesus. And so he did the investigation, and he became a Christian. And then he wrote a whole bunch of books called The Case for, and one of his books is The Case for the Resurrection. If you want to look at it at a more, the way that you examine history from that time, not based on revelation in scripture, but just how do you know what actually happened in ancient times? There's a book called The Resurrection of Jesus, A Historiographical Approach that you may want to consider. Listen to the eyewitnesses. See, one of the explanations for the rapid rise of Christianity, how do you explain that, by the way? One of the explanations is they really believed Jesus was risen from the dead. They really believed they saw him and spent time with him. It was their message. It's what they were willing to die for, and many of them did die for. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says, after Jesus had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, not just once or twice, and speaking about the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 doubles down. He starts mentioning names. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. And then he lists names. He appeared to Cephas, or that is Peter, and then the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Did you know that? It's like the church threw a party. There were 500 people that showed up, and Jesus was there. And they saw him, and they talked with him. They probably ate with him. They probably hugged him. Paul says most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, you don't have to take my word for it. There are hundreds of people out there who saw the risen Jesus. Go talk to them. Verse 7, then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me. Now there's one for you. How do you explain the radical transformation of the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine waking up tomorrow morning and the headline news says, President Trump says, vote for Biden. Trump is now going to become the biggest financial supporter for the Biden campaign. Or can you imagine, on the other hand, tomorrow morning you wake up and it says President Biden, President Obama are saying, vote Trump. All of your votes, support him. He needs to be the next president. Whatever else went on, you would think something happened to change these people. That's a profound. Here's what I want you to understand. That change is so much less radical than Paul becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul felt like Christianity was so wicked that he was not just justified in trying to end the church, he was justified in overseeing the killing of Christians. That's how evil he really believed Christianity to be. And yet for Paul to become the primary mission, the lead missionary for the church, for Paul to write almost half the New Testament, you got to ask, how did that happen? How do you explain that kind of radical change? And the answer is, Paul's answer is, I saw the risen Jesus. He's alive. It changes everything.